It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to the It's All Cobblers to Me preview show. I'm Danny Brothers and I'm here to look ahead to the final home game of the season. The Cobblers take on Exeter City in a titanic battle for 11th place in League One at 2 o'clock. Don't forget, 2 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. Joining me to preview the game is John Beer from My New Football Club. How are you doing, John?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to have you back again. It's a lot of stuff's gone under the bridge since we last met, I've got to say. It was way back in September now. It feels like a different season since we played you last. Cobblers came away from St. James's Park with a 2-0 win, thanks to Sam Hoskins and Patrick Brough right at the end. Firstly, what did you make of that game and the Cobblers that day?
Yeah, I think that we were just going into that period at Exeter City where it was sort of a bit downhill. I think that was the sort of start, if I believe correctly, of that sort of 13-14 game run we had without a win, and it was sort of all looking a bit doom and gloom. But, I mean, just, you know, a really good, well-organised side that I think were miles better than us on the day.
Yeah, I remember going into it. You'd started the season fairly well. Like, you've had some good wins at the start of the season, Then you'd lost to Oxford just before you played us. But there were sort of early murmurings, I guess, of the manager and was he good enough? Was he the man to take you forward? Being under a little bit of pressure. Cobblers' defeat was one of a six-game losing run. You didn't win again then till Boxing Day, like you said. And that was only thanks to Wickham missing a penalty in injury time as well. So you almost didn't win that one as well. There's a 7-0 hammering at Bolton in there too. And you just look at it and you think you've seen so many managers in that position would have gone somewhere in the middle of that run, after the Bolton result maybe, or after a couple of unencouraging results and performances. It just seemed like Gary Caldwell was going to be the next one to go, and he never did. What do you think kept him in the job for so long?
Yeah, I think firstly we do things differently at Exeter City. I think we're unfortunate enough to see a little bit of what goes on behind the scenes, and I just think there was this belief in the personnel we had behind the scenes that we knew we'd hired the right person. If, you know, there was a lot of factors that, unless you're, you know, seeing that week in, week out, if you just take the results or where we are, like, you know, we're dropping points. If you take just that, it looks bad. But we had lost our best player by a country mile, Dimitri Mitchell, for the whole season in this run. He was pretty much our main goal threat for ages. We didn't really have an out-and-out number nine. We sold Sam Nombe very late in the window, which left us sort of lacking for any decent sort of goal conversion striker. We had good strikers, but maybe not ones that were what we needed at the time. So there was a lot of things that we knew that if we could just fix in January, it would all be all right. And we managed to sort of recruit well enough in January to sort of steady the ship. And, you know, if you look at our form in the sort of start of the season and since Boxing Day, if we'd managed to keep that up for a little bit longer in that pit, in the each period, either side of each period, we'd probably be looking at a mini sort of playoff push. Unfortunately, that 13 game streak just sort of put that to an end. But I think it was just a belief in the fact that we knew why we'd hired Gary Caldwell. He's won League One before. He's very experienced at this level. He plays football the right way, firstly, the way we would like to play. I mean, I went to, I don't know when this is going to go out, but I went to the Burton-Cheltenham game yesterday. And I remember I was watching that thinking, like, if I could just show this to Exeter City fans, you know, the ball is just in the air for 90% of the time. It's aimlessly kicked here, there and everywhere. So if you can just see what Gary Kulo is working on, you can then start to see why he kept his job.
And is that a belief from the fans as well as the staff there as well? Did the fans ever kind of go off that course during that run at all? Or was it they're literally like, we can see what you can do, what you're all about. We're going to give you that time to do it.
It's a really good question. I think a lot of the fans were very called well out for a lot of that period. They were saying there was no sort of return. You know, there was no comeback from what was happening on the pitch. It was a small group of people that believed him. There was a small, you know, minority of people on Twitter that were sort of vocal about wanting him to stay and seeing that there was the right ethos and the right kind of stuff being played on the pitch, maybe just not being executed quite right. And there was definitely times in that that run where we didn't win, where you thought, God, it could be, you know, it's getting very hard to defend what's happening. You know, that 7-0 at Bolton was, you know, but completely and utterly embarrassing. But there was just a belief from people, the right people at the club, that this was the right man, and it's turned out to be the case. And, you know, if we could keep the core of the squad that we've got now and bring in that sort of lethal finisher, which is just the last finishing touch we're missing, I think, for a playoff push in this division. But we've got to keep a couple of the players we've got.
Yeah, I mean, in January, it all completely turned around. The form in the second half of the season is just the coin flip of what it was in the first half. Was it literally just a case of getting to January, getting the players in to play the system and getting the right men through the door? Was that all it was? Or was there tweaks tactically? What did he change to completely turn this season on its head?
No, it's quite funny, really, because there was nothing changed tactically, even though there was shouts for a constant tactical change. People were saying it wasn't working. He stuck to his guns, which I actually really respect. You know, if it backfires, you know, at least you've lost your job, or you've lost, you know, whatever you've got, believing in how you want to play football. And the recruitments in January really helped. We brought in Moisa, which is, you know, it was a recognised goal scorer in this division, you know, in the last couple of seasons. He didn't quite get off and running with us, but he helped. He's just alleviating a little bit of the playing time that people had. A lot of people were playing loads of minutes. We brought in Luke Harris from Fulham on loan, who has just been brilliant. He's been a breath of fresh air. And we brought in a couple of players just to allow other players to move. So we brought in Ben Purrington to play at left centre half of a three. So that Zach Jules could play further up as a wing back. And it's just, although on paper they didn't look like they were going to fix anything on the pitch, it just allowed people to play where they wanted to play and needed to play. And it just added that depth. And I mean, Ryan Woods again has been on loan from Hull, superb. Couldn't get a minute at Bristol Rovers at the start of the season. I think he had a string of away games that he might have played, but other than that, couldn't get in the squad. And for us, I think he's number one priority to try and bring in January. It looks like the relationship's going to break down with Hull. He's got a year left on his deal, but don't think he wants to be there. So for us, I think that's our main priority. But yeah, we've strengthened well in January and just brought people in the right positions.
And you're coming into Saturday in really good form. No defeats in the last 8 games. Completely moving away from any relegation worries. And obviously coupled with the stuff that went on between January and March, which was really steady and started to build up that momentum away from the bottom four. Was there a point in the fan base? I know you said some of the fan base were a little bit concerned about Caldwell during the first half of the season. Was there a certain game, a certain moment during the second half of the season where you thought, yeah, we've got it now. We're right on the right track again?
Yeah, funny, you know what? I would often say that it's more of a gradual thing. But for me, there was 2 games, and I don't know if Stevenage was quite the second half of the season, but we played Stevenage away, who were flying at the time. Hadn't lost in a stupid amount of games. And we went a goal down, a man down, and managed to get a point from the game. I think Yannick Wildschut came on and scored. It was really early on in the second half. And that was in the really make or break period. If he'd lost, there was definitely going to be calls for his head, like, certainly from almost every fan, Exeter City fan that there is. And it just showed everyone that the players were still fighting for him. There was the few questions at times that were players still playing for him, you know, that old cliche. And that just showed every fan, look, all right, he's still got the people in this squad still believe in what he's trying to do, just because it's not working quite right now. And then the other game for me was Barnsley away, where we went again, played one of the best sides in the division. They played so well that day, Barnsley, but we not only matched them, we went 2-0 up and should have won the game even more comfortably in the end than what we did. I think we won 2-1, but I mean, we were by far the better side. So at that point, you start to think, right, the players are definitely good enough to do it in this division. It's just about trying to pick up some consistency. And then in the end, luckily we did.
And any relegation fears at any point for you guys? Even with that first half, you started to build back in January, but was there any kind of lingering doubts in the first couple of months of the year?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, no. I was always pretty comfortable in the fact there was four worst teams than us. And as horrible as that is to say,
yeah.
I'm lucky enough to go around the country and watch loads of teams, not just City. And I mean, I've been to watch Burton quite a bit. I've seen quite a bit of Cheltenham and not a little bit of Fleetwood as well. And I just remember thinking, I mean, Fleetwood actually, ironically, were in the two games they played against us, were one of the better sides I'd seen play. I mean, at times they were putting some really good stuff out. They beat us 3-0 at their place. But I just thought we'd have to, it'd be a real failure to go down the season with a couple of the teams that are in the division. And although there was obviously a period of time, you know, where it looked like we could be in a really dogged relegation battle. And I think for a large parts of the season we were, it's only in the last couple of months we've really pulled away from it. There was not really a massive fear in my mind that we were going to go down at any point. But I think there was a large part of the fan base that was sort of resigned to it, that it was just going to happen. We were just going to keep losing and losing and losing and eventually drop into it.
Yeah, but it has completely turned around. Some really good results, especially away from home as well. That Barnsley result is a cracking one. You beat Bristol Rovers away. You've gone to Wigan and won. You beat Shrewsbury 3-0 away from home. Won at Cheltenham. And then last weekend, you come to Port Vale, 2-0 down against the side scrapping for their lives at the bottom. It would have been easy, I'd say, speaking from experience as a Cobblers fan over the last few weeks. It would have been so easy for you at halftime to be like, right, you know, we're done. We're going on the beach. We're going to, yeah, we'll just see through this and we won't bother. You then come and score four goals in the second half. And no matter who you're playing, top end of the table, bottom, mid-table, whoever you're coming up against, to come and score four goals in the second half and come from 2-0 down to win 4-2 when your team's essentially in a mid-table clutch of teams, that's impressive. And that shows really good signs ahead of sort of the summer and next season, right?
Yeah, it's so promising. It shows that the manager is the right one, because like you say, a lot of teams would go, we were mathematically safe on Saturday, so there was no worries of going down, which was,
yeah,
after January, our main objective, just stay up by whatever means possible. And in the end, it's been more comfortable than we'd imagined. But yeah, to go to Port Vale, who, like you said, are fighting for their lives, had pretty much, were the better side in the second half from what I saw, and had some really good spells. We were sort of, again, in the first half we sort of looked like a side who only a couple of players turned up, and a lot of them were probably, you know, as they say, on the beaches and on holiday. But no, we came back out in that second half and showed exactly why we're pushing in the right direction, and the manager made it very clear he wanted to beat his points tally from last season, and a win at Port Vale or 3 points between now and the end of the season would have done that. And we didn't give up, didn't keel over, and in the end we went and put four past them and pretty comfortably in the end won the game. Could have been more, hit the cross, bite the post, so it could have been more. So yeah, it shows really good signs, really good resilience and real like endeavour that even though we're safe and, you know, the players are going to be playing League One football next season, they still wanted to go and win the game.
Yeah, I think that's pretty impressive, the way you've been playing. There's no sense at all that you're on the beach at all. What sort of noises are coming from like players, managers in the last couple of weeks, and when you've been kind of edging towards mathematical safety in terms of where you want to finish this season? I know you mentioned the points target. Has there been any noises about let's try and finish in the top half, let's go for top 10, anything like that?
Yeah, I think that the first objective was to beat the points tally from last season, and now the noise from the club and the players and certainly the manager is that a top half finish is in our hands. We can do it. And that is a really big, that'd be a massive step. And again, finishing above where we finished last season, it's another step in the right direction. I think no one at Exeter City is under any illusions that we want to do anything quickly or rush anything or throw silly money at it. We want to progress slowly. We're happy, you know, we spent 10 years in League Two trying to get out the right way and not spending out of our means, and if it means we've got to wait another 10 years in League One to have a push or to try and get out and do things properly, that's how we'll do it. But yeah, I think a top half finish is there is a real big desire from the the manager and the players.
Yeah, and after sort of the first half of the season, you had that'd be really impressive to finish there as well this season. In terms of overall outlook then, do you kind of sense yourself, see yourself, see Exeter City as a League One club now and next season? What's the targets there? Just do you feel in the fan base? It's quite hard to tell now in terms of we don't know who's coming up, who's coming down. Where do you sense the expectation is for next season?
Yeah, I think it really varies on who you ask. I think a lot of fans would like to see and can see the potential for a playoff push if we can keep a couple of the players we've got that aren't contracted for next season and bring in that sort of number nine. There's a lot of talk about Milenik Ali, who we've just signed from Halifax in January, being that number nine. I mean, he's already scored more than the club anticipated him scoring. He's coming from the conference, a big step up. He's got four goals, I think it is now, 4 in 3. So he looks like he could be a right find. But it's difficult. I think for me personally, and for a large group of the fans, a playoff push would be sort of the next sort of step. And not even necessarily getting into the playoffs, but just having an opportunity to, and just trying to get rid of that horrible patch we keep having in these seasons. We, at the end of last season, we lost 7 of the last 8 or whatever it was. So just trying to get rid of those patches so we can really put a playoff run together.
You mentioned the signing of the number 9. Is there anything else you can see that you would do in terms of next season to stop that from happening? What do you sense you're going to be doing over the summer?
Yeah, I think we're very lucky that we've got a good academy. We've got some really good youngsters coming through. I think Jake Richards is a really good young player. He's 16, born in 2007, and he's played 4 or 5 times this season. He's looked really good, especially in these last couple of games that we've been playing him in, because we've been safe and we're trying to build experience for these young players. We've got Pedro Borges as well, a young chap who looks really, really talented. I don't know if you saw our goals against Port Vale on the weekend,
yeah,
but he was the one who put that flick that sort of went mini-viral over to Luke Harris. So, yeah, I mean, we've got some really good players coming through, which is exciting. We seem to always have some really exciting young players coming through at Exeter. And then I think, for me, keeping Ryan Woods is the first goal, because he's been immense and he's really, really top quality for this level. And then bringing in just that extra number 9. I think we've got Sonny Cox, who's a really good young striker, showed his class in some really important games. Bolton at home springs to mind. He was brilliant. He scored 2 goals right off the bat in the second half. And he's only, 18, 19. And then bringing in sort of maybe a different profile of striker. We've got 2 quick strikers, maybe more of a target man sort of that you can revert back to if it's not going great. But yeah, I think just genuinely just we are one good number 9 away from being at the top, the upper end of this division.
Yeah, and you can see most of your players sticking around next season as well.
Yeah, I hope so. I think a lot of the players I think it takes a lot to convince players to come to Exeter City because of where we are geographically and what it means. You have to relocate and all that kind of stuff, a long way from a lot of people's homes and families. But I think once they get here, people really like to stay and they like the area and they like the ethos of the club and how it's run and everything like that. So I think once they're here, they love it. So yeah, I can see Ryan Woods wanting to stay. The issue is, we can't pay as much as other teams in the division and we're not as geographically well placed as other teams. So there's definitely elements that come into it. But from what I hear, yeah, the players that come want to stay and Ryan Woods hopefully fits into that category.
And very quick one before the break as well, in terms of recruitment, Malcolm Crosby still your chief scout there? Former Cobblers assistant.
No, I don't think we've... No.
I saw him Malcolm on your list.
I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with...
Is he the only one that stuck out? I was looking through your squad and he came up on the staff list. I thought, I wonder if it's the same one, and it was. But whether he's still there or not, I'm not sure. But definitely seem to be doing a lot of good recruitment. And you've still got that ethos of groundedness, haven't you, with the fan ownership as well?
Yeah, we've got, our director of football is great. We've got Marcus Flitcroft, who's our director of football, and he's brilliant. He's worked his way up. He was sort of an analyst, head scout, director of some, it was sort of like a director of football role, but not quite, head of recruitment type thing, and then went to director of football. And he's brilliant. He's great. He's got such a good team around him that managed to find these gems. They're always looking. They're always, the amount of hours of football that they watch, it's probably the same at every other club, but that it's just incredible. And, you know, we've done really well to find some good gems in recent seasons. Reece Cole being one of them. He's been probably going to win our player of the season this season. And last season was playing step seven PE teacher. And we managed to find him. And now he's our top goal scorer. I think he's a joint top assister. And he's been incredible. He's linked to Portsmouth, Bolton, and Derby, the team's going up. So we've obviously got really good people behind the scenes that are finding these gems, and it's really exciting, yeah.
Yeah, and as clubs the size of ours, that's basically what we have to do, isn't it, to compete in terms of the bigger clubs in our division. It's finding those little gems, and you know, you must feel quite confident of keeping on finding more and more as the years go on. You sell them on, you start again kind of thing.
Yeah, we've always been a selling club, if you like, Exeter City. We've bring through really good academy players. I mean, if you look at some of the ones that are playing now at the top levels, you look at Ollie Watkins, Matt Grimes, Jay Stansfield, Ethan Ampadu, Josh Key, Archie Collins, Joel Randall in our division. You know, like there's some real good players out there that have come through our academy. Ben Criseni is on loan at Blackburn from Aston Villa. So there's so many good academy products that have come through our system. And it's about creating more that firstly come in and make an impact on our squad, keep you up or get you in the playoffs or wherever it may be, and then selling them on to keep your club alive and fund more and find more gems. So yeah, it's an interesting system, and I would rather do it that way than, you know, have some rich millionaire come in and spend loads of cash that, you know, he may or may not have. So, you know, you don't have to look as far as Reading and Bolton in recent seasons, and, you know, Bury. You know, I dread to think how many others there is, you know, looming in the future. For me, the way we do things is imperative, and if it means we go down to League Two, it means we go down to League Two. I want a football team to support first and foremost, no matter what division it's in, and I don't think we should chase success throwing money that we don't have it.
No, that's fair. Definitely fair. Time for a quick break now. We'll be back after some ads to talk more about the game itself on Saturday. Welcome back to the It's All Cobblers to Me preview show. I'm still here with John Beer from my new football club. John, let's look into the game itself on Saturday now. And some really good results, like I said earlier, away from home in the second part of the season. Is that something you've set up for differently away to how you play at home? Was it do you play the same way everywhere?
Yeah, I think we tactically tweak a few things depending on the kind of style of play that the opposition play. I'm not too familiar with how you boys set up to in terms of like the style of play. I don't know if you're on the ball on the ground, but I know statistically this season, I think there's only one team we haven't beaten who is like what you call a traditional long ball side. When they want the ball in the air, we're good at keeping it on the floor and playing it around and creating chances. When the other team are more like our play style, which is keep the ball on the floor, we struggle, we kind of get stretched and people getting dragged out of position. So, I mean, I'm expecting us to set up the way we have done in the last couple of games. The five back is sort of a Gary Caldwell trademark now. He's toyed with four back, and he will go to a four back if it isn't working. But I think we'll start with a five back and trying to keep the ball on the floor and stretch you. I think it's a relatively big pitch at your place, so it'd be perfect for us.
Yeah, I mean, the team that springs to mind straight away when you say that is Stevenage. Because just the two, you got 4 points off them this season. One of those points was right in the middle of that bad run you were having. It's the one you were talking about earlier when you went down to 10 men still and grabbed a point at Stevenage, having been a goal down and a man down. Impressive result, and you beat them at home. The style that we kind of mix it up a bit for the most part. So we will play a little bit direct when we need to, but we'll, for the most part, be on the floor trying to play through Mark Leonard. So it should be a really good sort of footballing match, at least on Saturday, especially with pressure off essentially both teams. Yeah. How are you expecting to, like you mentioned, the 5-3-2, are you expecting any kind of anything different player wise with these last couple of games now that safety's secured?
No, I don't think so. I think the only sort of switch up that could happen is, I don't know, of the two midfielders that we like to play in that sort of like 6-8 position, they sort of roam about, it's normally, it has been in recent weeks, Ryan Woods and Tom Carroll, which is actually a really good midfield to have in this division. Little bit immobile, struggle to then, you know, get across the pitch at times, but it will either be one of those out for Reece Cole to play in one of those 8-6 roles. It's a weird one for us because we've got 2 8/6s and then 2 10s with one striker, sort of like a extended diamond type thing. But yeah, other than that, it will be exactly the same as what we lined up with on Saturday, with the exception of Harry Kite won't play. He's played his last game for us, so he'll come out and someone will come in for him. But yeah, other than that, it'd be exactly the same. And I think that's the one thing we're looking to build, is a little bit of consistency. Our starting 11 has been all over the place this season with injuries and suspensions and form dropping and things like that. So just trying to find a little bit of consistency going into the next season.
Yeah, you mentioned Harry Kite there. Him and Alex Hartridge, two academy products that have announced they're leaving in the summer. You talked about earlier a little bit about how important that is to you, as well as going out to get the gems, bringing through players from your academy. And Hartridge and Kite, two prime examples of that, two really long associations with you. So Kite's had his send-off already. So they announced that he's going to have his last match, didn't they? And he's had that now. Is that right?
Yeah. And so I think they wanted him to reach 100 caps or 100 right. appearances, sorry, yeah. for City, which is what he achieved at Port Vale. So I think he's played his last game. Alex Hartridge has also played his last game, I believe, unless, you know, we get any injuries or anything like that in training in the week. But yeah, no, look, it's their decision. They had new contracts offered, I believe, and are deciding to, maybe it's time to go elsewhere and move on with their career. You know, as you grow up, you decide you want different things. You might want to go move to a different part of the country, whatever it may be. So yeah, look, best of luck to them. But you know, yeah, I think we've got a brilliant record of over 475 games now, with every starting 11 having an academy player in it. So it's really important to us. It's something we really believe in. It's something Gary really believes in, which is important. And you know, I every week now I look out for that, because it's last couple of weeks there's only been one academy player in the lineup or a couple, which is, you know, running thin. But look, we're trying to keep it going, and not forcing it is the main thing. You know, if you've got not at the detriment of the team, we actually got good academy players to play, then they play. But Exeter City, it's definitely if you're good enough, you're old enough type thing.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Was it 400 and how much?
Over 475, yeah, 475 consecutive games, yeah, of academy players. It's sort of like, you know, United had that sort of similar record, didn't they? I think they still got it, of having an academy player in every starting 11. And it's not even the squad. I mean, it's starting every week, which is great. It's really good.
Yeah, and especially at the bottom two levels as well, when the pressure on clubs is so high. In League One and League Two, you're either sort of fighting promotion from the League Two, you're battling relegation from League One, you're just trying to kind of punch above your weight almost a little bit a lot of the time. And so to have that consistency, and like you say, not to make it a token thing, it's really impressive.
Yeah, it's great. It's look, it's, you know, when we've been fortunate that the last two managers we've had have been really pro academy players. We had Paul Tisdale and Matt Taylor. Paul Tisdale was brilliant, brought through some really great players, developed players really well, was the main thing. He would play players and then tell, like, it was sometimes when you see academy players play, that you can see they're just playing because someone's injured or whatever, you know, they're only being brought into the squad to fill this gap. Whereas I feel as though our managers have really put them in to develop them and show them that this is how you can be better. Ollie Watkins speaks really, really highly of Paul Tisdale and says he wouldn't be the player he is today if it wasn't for his input on his career. So, and then, you know, after Tisdale, we had Matt Taylor, who has brought through probably the most successful academy side we've had. I mean, that season we went up from League Two to League One. We had Josh Key, Archie Collins, Jack Sparks, Cech Diabate, Alex Hartridge, you know, five or six or seven players in every starting 11 that season that were academy prospects and products, which is incredible. It's something that's we should be really, really proud of. And actually, that core group of academy products kept us in the division last season pretty comfortably as well. And this season's been a bit of an overhaul in that regard, because a lot of them have left. But yeah, it's something we're incredibly proud of and we really, really love.
Yeah, definitely. Player-wise then, who's going to be causing us the problems on Saturday?
See, if you'd asked me this a couple of months ago, I probably would have said nobody. But I think Milinic Ali's going from strength to strength, a really physical, big, strong striker, quick. And he's finding himself in the right place at the moment. He got a bit fortunate with his first goal on the weekend, sort of took a wicked deflection. But the second one, in the 90th minute of the game, to be busting a lung to get forward and tap the ball in from you know, 6 yards from a rollback is so impressive. His athleticism and his, you know, natural abilities are brilliant to see. I think his footballing side needs to be honed a little bit, but there's a player in there, so he'll be dangerous, especially if, you know, you're leaving spaces in behind. And for me, the other one is Reece Cole. I really like Reece Cole. I talk about him a lot. I tweet about him a lot. But I just think he's amazing. His dead balls are incredible. Some of the best I've seen at Exeter City since Matt Grimes. He's just every time we get a free kick, you think, oh, we could score here.
Yeah.
Or a corner, we think, oh, this would go on someone's head. It would be dangerous. It would cause a problem. He scored a wicked free kick against Peterborough. So those two are the main, for me, exciting ones. About if you're going to keep an eye on anyone for City, keep an eye on those two.
Yeah, I mean, just go back to Milenic Ali a little bit. You always expect when you see other teams signing players from non-league, you think, oh, they must be sort of 18, 19 prospects. It's actually 24, so it's a really interesting one to come into the league at this point, I guess, having scored a fair few for Halifax. But he didn't, I mean, from what I can see, he's not scored a lot of goals elsewhere, but he's just found something. So again, your scouting network must have been really, really on it to not just go, right, who's scoring the most goals? It's what else he gives to the team. And it sounds like he's fit in sort of from the start.
Yeah, I think the main thing that's important is, you know, there can be players in the National League and the National League South and North that are really great, but only work in their system they're playing in, and which is why they're great. They're made the focal point. It's very unlikely often that a player from the National League will come into a League One side and be its focal point, right? It's not very common that happens. There's probably a few exceptions, you know, Jamie Vardy, whatever. But often the players that are looking good in non-league is because of the system they're in. So we need to take into account what kind of system their other teams play. So I think what we do is we eliminate X, Y, and Z from the transfer list and go, you don't play how we play. So if you've got a player that's doing well, chances are he'll come into our squad and it might not work. I think a good example is Haaland at Man City. He doesn't really fit into Pep's style of play, but because he's so good, you can make that exception. In the lower divisions, doesn't really work. So it's about finding out what teams fit our ethos, right? Who in there could potentially have the physical attributes, has the sort of money ball style approach of like not doing amazing, but if you put them into a bigger picture, can they be great? That kind of approach that we take to scouting is really cool and really impressive. But, you know, you see a lot of players, and there's a chap in non-league who is tearing it up called Chris Conn-Clark at Altrincham. And he's had a lot of talk about him, but they're just, Altrincham just don't play the same way that we play. So it's a bigger risk to bring someone in like that. Mm-hmm. So that's where we differ, I think, from other clubs. We're willing to go, right, there's a better player there as an individual, but he just doesn't quite fit into what we want.
Yeah, sounds like you got it spot on. And Reece Cole, the other one you mentioned, linking up with Gary Caldwell again. I think he was with him on loan at Partick, wasn't he? Or with him at Partick Thistle. So one that Gary Caldwell's just been like, I know you from the past. I'm going to use my links and bring him back in. And it seems like it's the perfect kind of combination of manager and player in there.
Yeah, I think the big thing for Gary is he needs people to believe in the way he plays, because it's so... He is genuinely so one-dimensional, and it's a lot of people see that as a negative, and it can be sometimes when you go on that unbeaten run. But because he's so, this is how I want to play, we're going to play like this. If I change formation, doesn't mean we're going to go more direct, or we're going to keep playing. You know, the attitude that I get from him at times is that I'd rather, you know, lose the game playing the way I want to play than, you know, resort to lumping the ball long or whatever may be into aimless areas. I mean, we had a lot of stick this season for playing short corners, you know, and people were saying they don't work. And, you know, and in the end, people halfway into this good run that we've had now, people are now chanting sort of short corners, my Lord, as in like, you know, they've come around to the idea of short corners. So just the players believing in him allows the fans to start having a belief as well. Like, look, these players are still trying week in, week out to put on the pitch what he wants. And I think that sort of won the fans over, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds you've played in very similar style to us. Like, are you passing it around the back quite a lot and inviting teams on and trying to get through it that way? Is that?
Yeah, we're quite quick in transition. If we win the ball back, we want to do it quickly, and, you know, it's triangles and breaking lines and trying to play through the pitch rather than over it, as Gary says. So yeah, no, like it's really important to us to keep the ball. And yeah, sometimes we fight. You think as a fan you're in a precarious position, and all of a sudden two passes later you've taken four players out of the game and you've got 4v3 overloads or people bombing forward left and right. So yeah, I think from the way you're describing yourselves, and I'm going to be working for for BBC Radio Devon on Saturday. So hopefully I'll have a little advantage with knowing how you play.
Good stuff. Injuries, suspensions then come into Saturday. What's your situation at the minute?
I think we are fully clear. I don't think we've got any, other than Dimitri Mitchell, who's been a long-term absentee from the squad. I think everybody else is fully fit. And we've had, actually, for the first time in this season, players missing out in the squad, not due to performance or anything like that, just because we've got so many people in form and so many, you know, players that are fit and raring to go. We've had a big sort of contingent waiting off the pitch. So it's a good thing. There's a lot of competition for places, and I think, other than, yeah, like I said, Dimitri Mitchell, we're fit and raring to go.
Yeah, good thing. But then, okay, you're thinking that, oh, we could have done with this a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I mean, if we'd had the players fit for the whole time, I think we would probably be in a much better position. And like I said, it might be a more exciting season coming into the last few games, but that's how football works, and it all evens out in the end, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you've got a lot to be excited about, a lot to be happy about. Incredible transformation from Gary Caldwell, and the way that you're stuck with him as well is really impressive. So coming into Saturday, then, a big away following, I'm guessing, last away game of the season, should be a fun atmosphere in your end, and should just be like a really fun afternoon for you guys, I guess.
Yeah, I think we came to your boys a couple of seasons ago when, with the opportunity to sort of win the league, when we'd already got promoted the Tuesday before at Barrow, and we took quite a few then. I'm not sure it'll be quite the same amount. I think there'll be a fair few that are coming just to enjoy the last two games of the season and sort of soak it all up and just, you know, have an opportunity to see a couple of the young players in action. But I'm not sure it'll be quite the same contingent that came when we were pushing for League Two champions.
No, all good. It should be a fun afternoon anyway. Finally then, before we come onto predictions, if you're John Brady in the Cobblers dressing room on Saturday, what would you be telling us in terms of how to beat Exeter?
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest way to stop us is press high. In fact, if you look at the last couple of games we've played, I think the best side we've played against in recent weeks have been Cheltenham, because they just came out the block straight at us and pressing high, trying to win the ball back. And actually, at times, our players do look a little bit shaky when you really press them and get at them. So I would say get as up the pitch as you can, stop them playing from the back. If you can stop us playing when we have to go long, we are really not great. And that's what a lot of the sides in that run were really good at, just getting in your face, winning the ball back high. And because we were a bit panicky and under a lot of pressure, we would give the ball away. So yeah, for me, the main instruction would be, yeah, try and win the ball back as high up the pitch and get in their faces.
Yeah, good stuff. There you go, John. Pass that on to you afterwards. Predictions then for the game? Can we get a score prediction from you?
Yeah, I'm going to go for a boring one. I think it's going to be 1-1. We don't have in recent weeks, but we don't really score many goals, and I'm not too sure whether you guys are in free-flowing form, so I'll go 1-1.
Yeah, you've had a 2-2 and a 4-2 the last couple of weeks, so I feel like since you've mathematically become safe, you might unleash yourselves a little bit more and let yourself off the leash a bit. So I'm going to go for something similar. I think I'll go 2-2. Have a bit of a goal fest on our last home game of the season. But John, thanks a lot for joining us. Thanks so much for coming on. We will see you again next season, thankfully. Anything you want to plug before you go?
No, I don't think so. Just thanks for having me, and it's a pleasure, and hopefully I get to come on next season and we're talking about hopefully a more interesting season on both parties, really.
Yeah, definitely, maybe a playoff battle next season, so let's all hope for it. But yeah, thanks so much, thanks for coming on.
Cheers, thank you.
Cheers, buddy. Good luck to the Cobblers on Saturday then in that last home game. Remember, kickoff is at 2 o'clock, not 3 o'clock on Saturday, because of the Northampton Saints playing later on in the afternoon. Also, best of luck to NTFC Women, who play that blue lot from down the road once again for the second weekend in a row on Sunday. This time it's the County Cup final for them. Kickoff at the Dog and Duck in Wellingborough is at 2 o'clock. So do get on down there and check out online social media for the details on tickets for that one. We'll be back on Tuesday with all of our reaction to this one and to the NTFC women's game and all the usual fun and games. Thanks for listening. We'll see you then. Sports Social Podcast Network.